translation. When Raghunath Das Goswami approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri, the Lord entrusted him to the care of Swarup Damodar, his secretary. Thus they engaged in the confidential service of the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, and it's a short purport here. This confidential service was the personal care of the Lord. Swarup Damodar, acting as his secretary, attended to the Lord's baths, meals, rest, and massages. And Raghunath Das Goswami assisted him. In effect, Raghunath Das Goswami acted as his assistant secretary of the Lord. So that's a short purport here. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Pancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, I may be blessed to speak some words of wisdom, especially asking for the blessings of Rida Chaitanya Prabhu here, who's with us, Mother Guru, who's with us here as well, so I can say a few words which will illuminate the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The pastimes of Raghunath Das Goswami are being discussed here. And just yesterday, the verse was really about the life of Raghunath Das Goswami. The chapter is about the branches and sub-branches of the Chaitanya tree. The author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he reminds us that hearing of Krishna Katha, hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is like eating grains. It is like eating grains. What does he mean by that? Perhaps during the month of Purushottam, many people just have Ekadashi. Anyone doing that? They just take Ekadashi for the... I've met many devotees. They come in the morning and they're just doing Ekadashi for the whole month. So what does Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami mean? He says that if you don't take grain, you don't acquire strength in your body. Strength. So here he's reminding us that by hearing Krishna Katha, we are eating grains. It will sustain us and give us spiritual strength. So that's what we're doing here this morning. There's often a story, an analogy which is given, that an intelligent person, he's like a crane. He's like a crane, not the big crane, the bird crane. The bird crane. If you watch them, you'll see them often in parts of India, and you'll see them. And an intelligent person is like a crane. What they do is, a crane, it stands still in shallow water, and allows the small and medium fishes to pass by. And you're wondering, what's he going to do? He's just waiting, waiting, waiting. And he grabs only when the big fishes come. So he's standing still waiting for the big fish. So the intelligent person also grabs the opportunity to invest in big things. And the biggest thing is Krishna Katha. It's our biggest investment. So that's what we're doing. Krishna Katha teaches us two things. Many things, of course. This is a different version. But it teaches us two things. How to repair the repairable things in life, and how to tolerate the unrepairable things in life. Two things it teaches us. If we read through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Bhagavatam, two things. How can you repair the repairable things? Always a repair is needed in our life. Something or the other is not always right. If it's not our family, it's our work. If it's not our work, it's the temple. If it's not the temple, it's our mind. So how to repair the repairable things? And then the second thing Krishna Katha does, it reminds us how to tolerate the unrepairable things. Some things are what they are. And you have to learn to tolerate them. So Krishna Katha is about that. And Krishna Katha, when we hear it, especially the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Bhagavatam, four things you get by hearing Krishna Katha. The first is information. So much information is there. The second is satisfaction. The third is purification. And finally, the fourth is conviction. So four things that happen when you hear Krishna Katha. So we'll look at those again. The first one is information. Isn't it like today, so much information is there. That Saurabh Damodar is the secretary, the assistant secretary is there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 64 branches, variety of things. So information is a very good thing. Because by information we become attached to Krishna. If the information we have and we're reading is just about our mobile phone, we'll become attached to our mobile phone. But if it's about Krishna, we'll become attached to Krishna. And the information we receive is that this world is a place of misery. Now that doesn't mean we have to be miserable. It may be a place of misery, but we should be able to smile at least when we come to the temple. We shouldn't be miserable. And as Prabhupada said, we should be in this world but not of it. So information. The second thing is satisfaction. When we hear Krishna Katha, we'll become happy and greatly satisfied. Tusyanti cha ramanti cha, as Krishna says in the Gita. You become greatly satisfied. The third thing we said Krishna Katha does is purification. Removal of the anarthas. Anartha means that which has no value. If the two words, anartha. Artha means that which has great value. But anartha means that which has no value. So purification is about this. And you know, because of anarthas, we do not experience satisfaction. We don't experience satisfaction. And if we practice devotional life, but in a material consciousness, we'll not be able to connect with Krishna. So that's why we all come together in the morning like this, to hear and chant together. And finally, the fourth thing that Krishna Katha does is, anyone remember the fourth one I said? Conviction. When something enters into our hearts, it becomes conviction. It becomes realization. Someone will tell us so many things to do, but if it doesn't enter our hearts, there is no hope that it will in any way become a conviction. So, Krishna Katha is all about changing our consciousness. And the purports of Srila Prabhupada are all about that, how to change our consciousness. And if we hear every morning, whether it's here or in our homes, or if we read the purports, will begin to change our consciousness. And Prabhupada speaks about the four classes of people in many, many places. And Raghunath Das Goswami is being discussed in this purport and this verse, and he's the first class person. And the first class person is the person who hears just once and he acts. He changes. So Raghunath Das Goswami had heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just once and he changed his entire course of his life. So that's first class. The second class person is the person who observes and then he changes. Just like, you know it's wrong to steal perhaps. But we think, okay, I've heard about it. But when we see others who are stealing, they go to jail. We think, I should change. I better not do this. The temptation is great to smoke that one cigarette. But if I do, I could get lung cancer. Second class person. The third class person, he actually needs to experience. Maybe they're just saying these things in the Bhagavatam. Maybe I should do this or the other. We experience it and then we realize it was wrong and then we change. And the fourth class person is the person who hears, observes, experiences, but still doesn't change. Doesn't change. So Prabhupada said at least we should be second class. We should see that everyone else, they're suffering in one way or the other. So let's take to Krishna consciousness. Today's verse is about Raghunath Das Goswami, and it's being described that he is the 64th branch of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is also known, Raghunath Das Goswami, he's known as the Prayojan Acharya. Prayojan Acharya. All about love of Godhead. All about love of Godhead. So he has that. The verse today is all about the fact that Swarup Damodar was the secretary. Raghunath Das Goswami became the assistant secretary. And you know, in ISKCON, the sannyasis will have servants. And spiritual masters may have secretaries and servants even. And we'll find that it's not always an easy thing. Not always an easy thing to have a servant or a secretary. They're the individuals who were meant to assist you. But often when I speak to many sannyasis, they end up assisting the assistant. Confirmed. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki. And instead of the sannyasi preaching to others, they end up preaching to the servant because his mind is disturbing him. So here, we're hearing about the servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we very closely look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll find that previously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had other servants. The first of which is when he went to South India. When he went to South India. Anyone from South India here? So many hands going up. Many people from South India. So Mahaprabhu, he toured South India. So the first of the servants that was given to him was Kal Krishnadas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had problems with the first servant. He said, I don't want any servants. They give more difficulties. And as we know, Kal Krishnadas, he was allured by the tribal ladies. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to personally go and rescue him and take him out of the camps of the Bhattaharis. So finally, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Puri, he said, I don't want any more servants. I don't want any more servants here. So at that time, two new servants were given to him. One was Swarup Damodar Goswami. He was formerly known as Purushottamacharya. And he became the secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was given a servant as well. And the servant was Govinda. We always read in the Chaitanya about Govinda. Now, Govinda was actually a disciple of Ishwarapuri. So he reluctantly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this role. So these were the secretary and servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then at one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was traveling to Vrindavan. And at that time, he was given another servant. He wanted to go on his own. And Nityananda Prabhu said that in one hand, you will have your beads. And in the other hand, you will be counting. So counting was even then. How many rounds to chant, he was counting. And he said, you'll need someone to carry your danda, at least your kamandalu and your loincloth. So another servant was given. Anyone remember his name? Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And he went to Vrindavan, and Mahaprabhu again had problems with him. Because when he got to Vrindavan, now imagine, this is very interesting, because previously we spoke about Kal Krishnadas. You can be with God, but still you can be allured by the material energy. Imagine that. He was allured by the Bhattaharis. And now Kal Krishnadas, he came back and he had another service. Now Balabhadra Bhattacharya is again with the Supreme Lord. And when he was in Vrindavan, there was a rumor that on Keshi Ghat, Krishna is now dancing on the hoods of the Kaliya serpents. He has appeared again. So all the residents of Vrindavan, they were going to have a look. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he also went. He said, let me go and see Krishna. He's serving Krishna. And he's thinking, let me go and see Krishna on the Jamuna. So he went there. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him. It was simply a boatman with a lamp at night. And it was waving, and they thought it was Kaliya. So it's interesting in that sense. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he was chastised as well. So having a servant is not an easy thing. It may look like they have servants and secretaries. Sometimes it's a very difficult thing. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was the first of the six Goswamis to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Which is very important here, that all the Goswamis were there, but he was the first to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was the son of Govardhan Majumdar, Majumdar meaning the landowner, tax collector. And Govardhan Majumdar, his profit every year was 500,000 gold coins. Now that's not 500,000 pounds, it's gold coins. So even at that time, billionaire. He was a multi-billionaire even at that time. What to calculate it now, you know? So, and of course he wanted his son to be part of the family business. But after meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das Goswami was very eager to renounce family and riches. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he encouraged him when he met him to go and return home. He said, you return home. Famous instructions Mahaprabhu gives him. He tells him, Lord Krishna will direct you towards renunciation at the proper time. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, from now, live as if you are a worldly man. So this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Raghunath Das Goswami, that Krishna will direct you towards renunciation. So it's very interesting that that was the instruction that was given. Of course, he kept to that instruction for 2 years. He married and he looked after his father's estate. But then he had heard that at Panihati, Lord Nityananda was coming. And when he met Lord Nityananda, at that time, his life tremendously changed again. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami speaks about that when you receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda, only then can you progress in your spiritual life. When you receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Because he wasn't able to go any further until he received that mercy. And In case I miss it, how do we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda? By preaching the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, very simple. So of course, because now he couldn't stay there anymore and he wanted to leave his father's estate and he was running away. So his father had hired a large body of guards many guards to make sure that Raghunath Das Goswami didn't run away. And he did run away, so he was dragged back and he was brought back to the palace. He couldn't run away. So of course we have the same experience in ISKCON, isn't it? So many devotees have joined and the parents may have been upset in a variety of ways, and rightly so many times. Rightly so. We were not so mature. I remember in 78 when I joined here, there was a devotee who joined from the Sikh community. It's the first time that someone from the Sikh community joined, and he was really excited and fired up. So, you know, the parents came to see us, and the temple president there said, no, he's going to stay here. We're going to defend him and make sure he stays here. Then I told him, I think you should be a little careful here. And he said, no, we're not going to do anything. He will stay here. In fact, we're going to shave him up. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. Whatever you do, don't do that. Because, as you know, Sikhs have very long hair, and that's their tradition. And they have a term. I said, don't do that, whatever you do. So anyway, there was a visit the following day by a coach. There was a coach full of Sikh individuals that had come. And the temple president said, oh, this is good. Our preaching is working. They've all come. And they'd all come with hockey sticks. And he thought they'd come to play on the ground some hockey. And I said, no, I think we are going to be the ball in the hockey match. So they surrounded him in the reception here. And he agreed with me, I think this boy should go home. I said, yeah, I said that yesterday. I think he should go home. So often we have the same thing in our society. So his mother, of course, lamented greatly. And she was totally frustrated. And she said to Govardhan Majumdar that we should tie him up in chains against the pillars of the palace. So Govardhan Majumdar, his famous lines, you might all remember, his famous lines, wonderful lines where he says to his wife, he says, if the attractions of vast wealth and a wife whose beauty is of celestial proportions cannot bind him to this kingdom, do you really think a rope will bind him? Do you really think a rope will bind him? The famous words of Govardhan Majumdar to his wife. I think you've got it wrong. I don't think we're going to get there. So in today's verse, Raghunath Das Goswami, he's come to Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Swarup Damodar that, my dear Swarup Damodar, I entrust Raghunath Das Goswami to you. And from today, he will be known as Raghu of Swarup Damodar. So it's famous that he will be known as Raghu of Swarup Damodar. So he remains there. So under the care of Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami daily would receive the remnants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Imagine that. Every day you will receive Krishna's remnants, Chaitanya's remnants. So he took these for 5 days only. And on the sixth day, he said, I can't take this anymore. So Swarup Damodar said, why not? He said, and Raghunath Das Goswami said, for me, this food is too opulent. My spiritual vision becomes blurred by such indulgence. Therefore, I prefer to take just a few grains to keep my body and soul together. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very pleased with the austerities of Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he asked him, what are the duties of a renunciate? He asked him, what are the duties of the renunciate? And Mahaprabhu, of course, at that time, He was very, very pleased with Raghunath. And the famous verse, he speaks to him at this stage, telling him these are the duties of a renunciate. Because you want to renounce everything. And he tells him, Gramya Kathana Suniye. Famous verse. Gramya Varta Na Kahibe. So don't listen to Gramya Katha. Village talk, gossip. Don't listen to it. Although, you know, generally we're very attracted to it. He's telling him, don't listen to it. Generally, when Krishna Katha is going on, our ears are sometimes hearing and sometimes not hearing. We might be sitting in the Prasadam hall and we may hear in the distance, have you heard this rumor? And all our ears will want to hear. So, Gramya Katha Na Suni. Don't listen to these rumors. Because they will not be good for you. Gramya Vartana. And neither should you spread rumors. Don't hear them and don't spread them. Very, very important. So the exact is a series of verses, but Mahaprabhu says, do not talk like materialistic people or hear what they say. You should not eat very palatable food, nor should you unnecessarily dress according to fashion. Do not expect honor, but offer all respect to others. Always chant the holy name of Krishna, and within your mind, render service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So these are the instructions that Raghunath Das Goswami receives from Mahaprabhu about what are the duties of a renunciate. Very important. So he then renders confidential service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri for 16 years. It's a long time. He has the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 16 years. And he stays there until the disappearance of both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Saurabh Damodar Goswami. At that time, he decides to give up his life. And he decides, I'm going to go and jump off Govardhan Hill. Suddenly that was what renunciates did. They went to Govardhan Hill and left their world in this way. But he said, before I do that, I'll go and meet Rupa and Sanatan in Vrindavan. So when he met Rupa and Sanatan, they convinced him that don't give up your life. Instead, stay with us here in Vrindavan. And every day Raghunath Das Goswami would recite the different pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because he stayed with him for 16 years. So he knew everything that even Rupa and Sanatan didn't know. So he was there at that time. And as a daily duty, Raghunath gave up eating, as you know, and drinking even, and he would live on a few cup leaves of buttermilk. That's renunciation here. And every day he would offer obeisances to the Lord 1,000 times. Every day he chanted the holy name of Krishna 100,000 holy names. And every day he paid respects and dandavats to 2,000 Vaishnavas. So, quite tremendous. Quite tremendous. And you know, bowing down is a big thing for people. Bowing down is a big thing for people. To bow down in front of God or in front of the Vaishnavas is a big thing. People will not want to do it. But here we're hearing of how every day 1,000 times before the deity he would pay his obeisances. In the Olympics, there was an Olympics diver. And his friend was from the Mormon church. And he told him that you should bow down before God and pray to him. And the Olympic diver was an atheist. And he said, I don't bow down. I don't bow down at all. So the Olympic diver would every day train and practice his diving. So he went at night to practice the diving. And the lights were not on at that time. So he thought, let me just climb up. You know, they climb up very high. And when he climbed up, because there was no lights, he could see his shadow on the wall. And when he saw his shadow, it looked like Jesus. So he thought, my God, maybe my friend was right. So he thought for a few moments, and then he bowed down to the shadow. To the shadow. And then when he bowed down, when he looked down at that time, because he was just about to dive off the board and practice like he normally did every day. And when he looked down, he noticed that the swimming pool was empty. It was empty. If he had dived off, he would have been killed. So he realized that actually, yes, by bowing down today to God, my life was saved. My life was saved. Raghunath Das Goswami, he would daily take 3 baths in Radha Kund. And he engaged in devotional service 22, 23 hours a day. Perhaps sleeping 1 or 2 hours daily, if it was possible. So this was his lifestyle on a daily basis, imagine. When we look at the servants of the Lord, and the qualities they should have, Ramanujacharya, in his teachings, he speaks about 5 qualities that are needed by a servant. You know, if we want to be a servant or a secretary of the sannyasi or the spiritual master, he said these are the 5 qualities that you require. And he says the first quality that you need is simplicity. Saralata. Saralata means simplicity. This is the first quality that you require. Simplicity means no duplicity. Even rhymes. Simplicity means no duplicity. Whatever is in our heart, it is being expressed. Whatever is in your heart, you express it. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he speaks about that there is only one way for a conditioned soul to be freed from the cheating propensities. It's one of the 4 propensities that we have. One is to cheat. So he says the only way you can get rid of your cheating propensity is when you accept the orders of the spiritual master as your life and soul, and you follow them. He said this way you will overcome the cheating propensity. And we have many, many examples that are given. And the example of Hanuman is there. Hanuman had a simple desire to please Lord Ram. And this was his only goal. And to please Lord Ram, he did not consider prestige, position, or social dealings. Hanuman never considered these. So one time he saw Sita, and he saw that Sita was putting this sindur in her hair. So he said to her, what are you doing? And Sita said, I'm putting this sindur on, and by putting this sindur on, Lord Ram becomes pleased. Lord Ram becomes pleased. So Hanuman, he thought about this. He said, okay, some sindur and Ram is pleased. So he went and he got a big bucket of sindur. And he said, why only here? He put it all over his body. Everywhere that was possible, he put it everywhere. And then he appeared dancing in front of the assembly of Lord Ramachandra. And he said, here I am. And Lord Ramachandra said, Hanuman, what are you doing? He said, I put the sindur on. And Sita, she's told me that by putting the sindur on, you become very happy. So she only put a little, but I put all over my body. So Lord Ram was looking at this big ball of red. And the only thing he could see was when Hanuman spoke, the white teeth. So he said, Hanuman, at least you could have cleared your face. before coming to see me. So Lord Ram, he said, just see, Hanuman, he is wanting to please me so tremendous that he doesn't think of his personal prestige, his personal position, or even the traditions in the palace. This is how amazing he is. Not considering prestige, position, social dealings. And then the other example is also given of simplicity, is that when the Ravana was defeated, and Lord Ram said, now we're all going back to Nandigram in Ayodhya, and all of you, you come with me. So the Pushpa Viman had come. So Sitaram, Lakshman, and Hanuman were getting on board, and then all the Vanaras, they said, we also want to come. So Hanuman said, well, this Viman is very small, you can't all fit on there. And there was thousands of Vanaras. So Lord Ram said, not to worry. He said, this Viman, it can expand to whatever size we want. So it expanded until all the Vanaras got onto the plane. And Lord Ram made it a little bigger because he knew that monkeys can't sit still for too long. They'll be jumping at any time. So he made it even bigger in case they wanted to dive a little. So it was a big Viman. And finally when the Viman, it arrived in Nandigram, Bharat, who had been waiting for 14 years, he said, Lord Ram, when you first arrive, I have organized the most sumptuous of all feasts. So please all of you sit. So everyone sat. And Hanuman became the organizer of the feast. And everyone was served banana leaves. Lord Ram, Sita, everyone got banana leaves. And then when everyone had banana leaves, it was now time to serve the feast, as they traditionally do in Mayapur. Not possible in the West always to do these things. But you know, everyone sits down, the banana leaves are there, or neem leaves, or whatever plates we have now, and then you get served the feast. So Lord Ram, when he looked, there was no place for Hanuman to sit, because all the places were taken. So Lord Ram, he said to Hanuman, you please come and you sit with me. And you share my plate. So Hanuman said, no, you are the Swami, you are the master. How can I share the plate with you? Again, you know, servant and master. We're looking at that principle here again today in today's class of Raghunath Das Goswami. So he said, no, I cannot share with you. And Hanuman said, my lord, I know I'm hungry, but I'm not shameless that I would share your plate. But Lord Ram said, no, I want you to sit down. This is my order. So Lord Ram, he took the banana leaf, and with his lotus hand, he divided it into half. He put a line across it. So there was a line right across it. So Lord Ram said, now, although it is one plate, it is two plates. This side is yours, and this side is mine. And it said that prior to this, bananas didn't have the parting in the middle. You know the parting in the middle in banana leaf? It was only one big leaf. So after Lord Ram, he divided it. After that, all bananas have this parting in the middle. And the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, they speak of this, that this pastime is all about defeating Mayavad philosophy. That although the plate was one, it was different. Although it was one, it was different. So they use that very much in the Sri Vaishnava to defeat the Mayavads. That even, look at the example of Lord Ram. That is explaining to us that Krishna and the Jiva, they are simultaneously one, but different. Achintya Beda, Abeda Tattva. One and different. So the example of this is the principle of simplicity. That's the first thing that Ramanujacharya he gives. The second thing he gives is Shraddha, that a servant needs, faith. faith. You need faith to be a servant. And Prabhupada, he would often, and we know, adoshtrada, tatak sadhu sangha, bhajanakri, anartana vritti. These are all principles of devotion. But the first thing is faith. And if you want to be the servant, Ramanujacharya said, the second thing is faithfulness. Prabhupada would often test his devotees on this. And you know, Prabhupada had a certain power that he often wouldn't show. Because often many individuals would come and they would ask, does Prabhupada have any mystic powers? Because India was full of mystic people, isn't it? But now, you know, you get many, many magicians, isn't it? Who's that chap who does all the tricks, walking on the water? What was his name? Dynamo. Dynamo was walking on the water. So different people have different mystic siddhis. But Prabhupada equally had these siddhis. So the second principle is faith. When Prabhupada was in Bombay, the engineers had said that we have to do a piling test. Piling means you have to dig deep down and you have to have a layer of concrete. Because if you don't, then the whole building that you build on it will sink. Like the TOVP. The piling was very deep, I'm sure. Because it's right next to the Ganga. So they said, Juhu is on the beach. So Prabhupada said, no, we don't need to do piling. They said, then all the reports from the engineers came. The professionals. They said, piling is needed. And Prabhupada said, no, we don't need piling. So now they were confused. Do they listen to the guru or do they listen to the engineers? So Prabhupada was very clever. He said, no, we should listen to the engineers because they have given this idea. We must test it. So he said, okay, do a piling test. So they started digging. And when they started digging, by the end of the first day, they hit huge rocks at the bottom. And the drill collapsed that they were using. And it took them 3 days to get that drill out. And the engineers came to see Prabhupada and they said, you are right, no piling needed. No piling needed. They said, Prabhupada, how did you know? How did you know? He wouldn't say anything. So of course Prabhupada said, you must check equally with professionals. He said, not just follow the guru blindly. He was also instructing us there. And then another time on this principle of faith, Shraddha. Prabhupada was in America and he was going through America, which part of Florida, which is very famous for oranges. So he was in a car with a devotee and in front of them there was a truck. And the truck had a big drawing of oranges, big writing saying oranges. So the devotee who was driving Prabhupada said, this is Florida, very famous for oranges, they grow everywhere, and that truck is carrying the oranges, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was chanting on his bead bag, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he said, no, no oranges, pomegranates. So the devotee said, no, no, Prabhupada, I think it's oranges. This area only has oranges. And Prabhupada carried on chanting and said, no, pomegranates. So the devotee thought, okay, guru, faith, but you can't have blind faith. He said, let me drive past the truck and I'll show Prabhupada. Look, it's just oranges. So he drove past the truck and the first two crates were full of oranges. And he said, Prabhupada, look, oranges. But the rest of the big truck was full of pomegranates. And he was shocked. He said, Prabhupada, how did you know it was pomegranates? And Prabhupada never said anything. Never said anything. So faith is an amazing thing to have. Not blind faith, reasonable faith. So we have that principle within our society as well. That equally, we have to have that principle. The third item Ramanujacharya speaks about is the principle of respect. Respect. Simplicity is there. Faithfulness is there. And thirdly, he says respect. And respect comes from understanding that this person is a representative of the personality of Godhead. And by serving him, I will become purified. So when we see all devotees as representatives of Krishna, and by serving them we'll become purified, we will actually begin to respect them. And that's a very important principle. That the mercy flows when we have respect. When we don't have respect, the conduit which allows the mercy to flow is respect. And when Prabhupada was here, and he had come, he was staying in a hotel in Baker Street. And at that time, the moon landing was going on. The moon landing was going on. And everyone remember his secretary or his servant at that time? Prabhupada's servant was? Purushottam Das Brahmachari. So Purushottam had said to Prabhupada, "Look, Prabhupada, you said they never went to the moon. They're landing on the moon. Look." So Prabhupada said they didn't go to the moon. They didn't go to the moon. So Purushottam, he in the hotel room, Dhananjaya tells this story, he was there. Purushottam put the TV on and said, "Look, Prabhupada, they're landing on the moon." And Prabhupada said, "No, they have not gone to the moon." So of course, Purushottam from that time, he lost his faith. He said, "I can't believe in Prabhupada anymore." And he lost the respect that he had for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada at that time gave him money and he said, "No, you go back to your parents. You go back to your parents." Prabhupada was still very considerate because he was his servant. I'm bringing all the servant stories here because this purport is all about servants. Raghunath Das Goswami, Saurabh Damodara, these are all servants. So Purushottam, of course, Purushottam was making khichdi for Prabhupada in the hotel, in the kitchen, and he forgot when the whistle goes off, he opened too prematurely. And what happens is, everything explodes. So the entire room was full of black soot, and his face was totally black. And he was covered. So he walked into the living room and Dhananjaya, who was there, and others, I don't know who the others were, but Prabhupada said, "Looks like Purushottam has just come back from the moon." So, anyway, there was another devotee who, speaking on respect, Prabhupada noted that he never paid his respects to Prabhupada. He would never pay his dandavats. So Prabhupada called the temple president and said, "This person very soon will fall down." And he did. He left. So this principle of respect is a very important principle. The fourth thing Ramanujacharya speaks about is the principle of nirmatsara, being non-envious. Being non-envious. Very important principle. To be a servant. That you cannot be envious of the person you're serving. Why is it that that person is getting all the facilities and I'm not? Of course, Prabhupada says the servant enjoys more than the master. He says the servant enjoys more than the master. And in Prabhupada's time, if you remember, all the big opulent feasts were made and different things, and Prabhupada said, "I only take a little." He said, "But my servants, they get to enjoy." He said, "They get to enjoy. I don't enjoy the feast. They're all enjoying." Prabhupada would often speak about this principle of envy, and he said, "The Mayavadis are very envious." And he specifically, when he was at Harvard and he was preaching there, had a Mayavadi who was very, very reluctant to accept. And he kept on telling, Prabhupada said, "Krishna is the personality of Godhead." And the Mayavadi professor would say, "Everything is one." So after half an hour of trying to convince him, Prabhupada grabbed the man by his collar from the back and lifted him up. And all the devotees were shocked, because this was a formal meeting going on. And the devotees thought, wow, a new preaching strategy here. You grab the man. And then Prabhupada pulled the thread from his coat and he said, if this thread is the same as your coat, why don't you wear a thread? Is it all one? So the man finally accepted. Prabhupada then, he said to all his disciples, and he said, only I can do this. You can't do this. He said, I am an old man. Old man, children can go anywhere, speak anything, and do anything. I hope the children are not listening. So Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada said that principle. And this principle of envy was a big principle. Even in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, so many individuals became envious of him. And at that time, his secretary was there, but he had to get a new servant. And his servant was a gentleman by the name of Mocha Singh, Sardarji. And he was 6'8". So whenever they would arrive somewhere, Mocha Singh would be the first one to come out. So he stood 6'8". Can you imagine how big he was and stockily built? And Bhaktisiddhanta, of course, even he allowed him to eat chapatis on Ekadashi because he needed his grain, as we started the lecture about grain. That which sustains you, Krishna Katha, that would. So he would eat 68 chapatis every day and each sitting. So that was Mocha Singh, but it's a different principle. And Prabhupada speaks about this envious nature that Prabhupada, when he was in France, and the French Revolution was all about this, that they wanted equality. No one should have more than the others. Les Miserables. You know, it's all about that principle. So when Prabhupada was in France, in someone's home in a garden, one of his disciples was fanning him. And one of the neighbors was walking past and he saw that someone was fanning Prabhupada. So he went one way and he looked. And then he came back and he looked again. And then he went back this way and he looked. Because he was shocked. How is it this man is worshipping you? And of course it was an Indian man being worshipped by a Frenchman. So he was even more upset. So he said to Prabhupada, what is this? What's going on here? And he said, why is this man fanning you? And Prabhupada said, because it is too hot. And he carried on and he walked away. He carried on and walked away. Enviousness. So when we are envious, we cannot serve. And finally, the fifth quality, and we'll close in 5 minutes, looking at the clock. The fifth quality which is given is to be conscious. To be conscious. Prabhupada said that very much. He said, first become conscious before you become Krishna conscious. Often devotees, when they join for years and years and years, they don't use their common sense. They don't use their common sense. And Prabhupada very much wanted that common sense that we use. It's a principle that we should have. And common sense is a very, very important principle. The story is there of the guru who had a disciple, and the guru was on a horse. And they were traveling from one village to the next. So when they were traveling, the guru was carrying his book, his kamandalu and his stick. So while they were traveling, the guru dropped his kamandalu. And the disciple carried on walking and didn't do anything. So the guru said, pick up the kamandalu and give it to me. So the disciple gave it to him. And the guru gave an instruction. He said, whatever falls off from this horse, give it to me. So the man carried on, the guru carried on, and the horse had a call of nature and was passing horse dung. So the disciple quickly grabbed the dung and said, Gurudev, Gurudev, you said whatever falls from the horse, give it to you. So the guru said, Murk, let me give you a list. So he gave him a list, kamandalu, stick, dhoti, you know, all the things. So then they were carrying on, and whilst the guru was chanting, there was a low branch. And the guru got hit by the branch and he fell off the horse. And the horse galloped away, and the servant ran with the horse, and the guru said, "I'm here, get me." And the disciple said, "Well, the guru has given me instruction. Look at the list." So he looked at the list. Kamandalu, stick. There was no guru on it. So he said, "No, I'm going on." So he didn't pick up the guru. We have to use our common sense. Become conscious before you become Krishna conscious. A very, very important principle. Prabhupada had so many secretaries and servants from Hari Suri, Shruti Kirti, Bhakti Chiruswami, Tamakrishaka Swami. I was just looking at the folio this morning. Brahmananda, Paramahamsa, Rai Ram, Purushottam, as we mentioned, Shamsunda, Pushta Krishna Swami, Harikesh Swami, Akshay Nanda, Rameshwar, Satsarup Maharaj. And Prabhupada would always change his secretaries and servants. Because he said, when you become too close to the Guru, you start seeing the faults. So when we are too close to the Vaishnavas, we also start seeing the different faults. So Sridhar Swami, he says something very interesting. Our Sridhar Swami, who was in ISKCON, who passed away, he says that, you know, generally when people want to get you addicted to smoking or drugs, they give you free drugs first. You don't have to pay anything. Second time, they give you free drugs again. Or smoking. Third time, again, they'll give you something free. Fourth time, now you're addicted. When you want to get it, they say, now you have to pay. Sridhar Swami, he says that the first three smokes are free. Then you have to pray. And he said, similarly, in ISKCON, the first three kirtans are free. Then you have to pay. What does he mean by that? You know, we speak about the fact that chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And we all want to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But chanting Hare Krishna and being happy, gradually other responsibilities will come in. And the other responsibilities, and one of the major responsibilities that comes to us when we start chanting Hare Krishna, after the three kirtans are over, is that we have to be with devotees. We will be surrounded by devotees. And we have to keep reciprocating with devotees. How to maintain both intimacy and respect? Vishrambena and Gauravena. Intimacy and respect. This is a great challenge when we're in the association of devotees. How to maintain intimacy, all of us, at the same time respect. This is our great challenge that's being given to us. You know, we should be proud that we have the highest philosophy. But to share it with the whole world, just our words are not sufficient. Our actions should demonstrate that we have the highest philosophy. We may impress people in the beginning. But to sustain it in the long run, a behavior that suits the highest philosophy will be required. Very important for all of us. And each one of us, the duty for spreading Krishna consciousness is up to us. It's not just with a few people in the building. It's everyone's duty. Whenever you see a guest, We should respect them. We should greet them, meet them. If nothing else, and we're very busy, at least smile. Because as I said, we have the highest philosophy. But when we want to share it with the whole world, and they come here, they've heard of the highest philosophy, but then they think they're not practicing what they preach. People are not happy here. How will they take to it? So whenever you're here, if you see a guest, if you don't know anything, you can direct them to the reception. Speak to them. Meet them, greet them. Very big responsibility. And ending here today, all the devotees are back from the book distribution marathon, so I want to welcome all of them. We had a 1 week of book distribution. It was wonderful that everybody went out. This is the last week of our preschool and also our Bhaktivedanta Manor School. They break up as well, and we had a fantastic gathering of the end of the year show at the Ark Theatre in Borumud. For the first time, we evolved from the theatre room. We made our way to the village hall, and finally, we were in the theatre. So we were evolving in that way. So really, I take the opportunity to thank all the teachers at our school and our preschool that are really doing a tremendous service. And this is also the last week of the ISKCON educational services. They get nearly about 20,000 school children coming here every year. And we saw some of those responses last week of what they do. So I really want to thank them. Tremendous service over 25 years. And finally, just an update on our planning application. As you know, we want to build a big Haveli here. It's part of the council's master plan. It was going to be heard in July, but now they are postponing it to hear it in September. But still very positive. So hopefully by September we'll get the application through. And hopefully we'll begin on the Haveli after that, which will be a great facility for all of us, and it will take us a couple of years to put together. This is the last few days of the month of Purushottam, so take advantage by hearing and chanting. And really, in essence, what Vyasadeva, through his teachings and the Bhagavatam, are really trying to tell us is that every day is Purushottam Mass. But because our mentality is such that we need some incentives. Kartik is here. Some incentives are there, aren't they? I'll do a bit more. But actually the real consciousness is every day is Purushottam Mass. Every day is Kartik. And every day I should be making sure that I have my sadhana, which is very good, but equally I share this Krishna consciousness with others and I behave properly with the other Vaishnavas as well. Thank you very much. I'll take this opportunity. Hridai Chaitanya Prabhu, any corrections, any thoughts, anything you want to add? Mother Guru, anything from you? Commissioner Babu, anything you want to add? No.
Yes, I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says, I was speaking in context to Raghunath Das Goswami, that he specifically wasn't getting anywhere until he received the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So equally in our philosophy, obviously, we want to receive the mercy of the spiritual master, but that's not one aspect of it. There are so many other aspects. You may receive the mercy of the spiritual master, but if you're not chanting, and if you're offending all the Vaishnavas, then you won't equally make advancement. So many other things are required to be a rounded Vaishnava. One aspect is the mercy of the spiritual master or Lord Nityananda. But many other things are equally required. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavata Shravan, Mathura Vas, Murti Shadaya Sevaya. These are the five potent forms of bhakti which are required, as mentioned by Rupa Goswami, for you to really advance in spiritual life. Guru Premanande. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Hare Krishna.